Well, good morning. So always so good to be with you all. For those of you fairly new to Christ Community Chapel, you have seen Pastor Joe Coffey on our screen the last few weeks. And Pastor Joe is a wildly gifted communicator and a wonderful, wonderful guy, a great brother in Christ. And the way we work at our campuses here is every once in a while, two out of five times or so, you're going to hear from me, and my name is Mark, if I didn't say that already. It's Mark Lyle, and if you have any questions about our campus, I would love to answer them. Bob, welcome back. Good to see you this morning. Bob's back from Liberia doing mission work there for all of us. Thanks for representing us and sweating so that we don't have to. It's a good year. Our theme this year is what? Transformed, right? So we are going to look at being what it means to be transformed in Christ. And let me tell you, I've told you before, I'm a teacher. I like to preach, kind of, but I like to teach more. So one of the things that means is hopefully something I say you're going to want to write down and apply it to your life. So get some kind of Bible, because we're going to be in there, and if you can, grab some kind of pen, paper, so that if I happen to say something brilliant, you don't miss it, and you can write it down and apply it to your life. And if you go through this entire sermon and nothing is written down, you can come up to me, and if you're being honest, I'll give you a $2 gift card to the cafe, okay? But I want you to, because I'm going to tell you right from the beginning, what I'm going to talk about today is extremely practical. I'm going to start by telling you about lessons that I learned from the YMCA. Okay, I have been a member of the YMCA for a long time. I like physical exercise. I've told you before, I'm not saying it because in any way it makes me superior. I probably have an illness related to how much I like to exercise, but I do. And one of the things that I observe is January, what I call January at the YMCA. So what happens in January is a few new faces appear at the front desk because they need to increase their sales force because some new folks are coming in. In many cases, it's because of January resolutions, right? Sure, people want to change their lives. And so what begins to happen is the new salespeople begin to walk the prospective new members all the way around the facility and show them how amazing and how great the YMCA facility is. And a beautiful gymnastics room, a great fitness center, a pool from the 1930s. It's a neat facility, but people walk around and they're pretty wide-eyed. And if they take the step of actually signing on the bottom line, then in many cases they show up in the next couple days with their brand new running shoes and their brand new sweatsuits, and it's really it's an experience. But let me tell you about my personal experience when I finally joined the Y. I had been exercising beforehand, so I went in feeling pretty good about myself. And what I realized happened was after the sales pitch and after I'd seen everything, they said, okay, how about your physical assessment? When do you want to schedule that? And I said, well, what's the best? They said, you know, hey, if you're going to come in and start working out, do it right away. Okay, great. So I signed up. Physical assessment. And I thought, I had run marathons before joining. I thought, I walked in feeling pretty good about myself. And I walked into the office of the trainer, and she said, okay, let's see how many push-ups you can do in a minute. And I wanted to run. I said, no, let me run. Let me show you how good a runner I am. And she said, no, I understand you like to run, but start doing push-ups. So for the first 8 seconds, I furiously did push-ups. And then I began to fatigue, and it was embarrassing by the time I got to a minute. She said, okay, now let's see you do some sit-ups. And exactly the same thing happened over and over again. And then she said, I need you to lift your shirt so I can measure some body fat. Yeah, at that point, I was horrified. Because I was in decent shape, but this was getting a look at the real, right? You say, Mark, that's fun. It's fun to hear your embarrassment at the YMCA. Why in the world are we talking about this? We're talking about this because listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, but rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. I shared this a few weeks ago with the men in men's fraternity. I said it struck me that as we look at this year and the year of transformation, the year of being transformed or being morphed into something new, is it feels like in the church, more often than not, we read the passage in 2 Corinthians. And we say, if anyone is in Christ, it says in 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we hear that and we say, awesome, amen, I love it. And then we sink down in the reality of our lives and we go, when is my life going to get new? When is this really going to start to happen? And what I feel like Pastor Joe has done a great job of doing is introducing us to and reminding us of the fact that we can be transformed. A year from now, you don't have to be the same spiritual person that you are right now. But, and what I need to remind you of is it's going to take some work. John Ortberg says in his book, it's a small book he wrote many, many years ago. It's called The Life You've Always Wanted. And what he says in that book is that for most people, their attempt at spiritual growth and spiritual transformation is a matter of trying. And what the Apostle Paul just said, what he compared it to, if Paul said, you need to understand, I need to understand that spiritual life, spiritual transformation does not come through trying. It comes through training. The reason I need that to hit home for some of you is because what you've decided in your heart and in your mind is that the way you're going to live your spiritual life is you're just going to keep deciding to try harder to be like Jesus. You've decided that you're going to try harder to love your spouse that more often than not grates on you in so many ways. Or that coworker that if you were able to say what you really, really felt, it would be ugly. But yet, if you just keep trying, you're going to somehow get there. And I need to remind you that what the Apostle Paul says is you need to train. You need to train as if you were taking on something monstrous in your life that you've never accomplished before. You need a plan. Now, let me pull back for a minute and say, before I run you down the road of a training plan of any sort, the first step I would say is be honest. assess yourself. Use the analogy of the YMCA if you need to for the next week to think about your spiritual life. The first thing I would tell you is be honest about the assessment. One simple tool we have, we've put up online. You can go online and it gives you an idea, a little bit of an idea about where you might be spiritually. But for some of you, as your pastor, I need to ask you, assess yourself honestly. If you feel like you are, you know, I talk about spiritual truths. I talk about following Jesus. I talk about believing in a triune God. You might go, Mark, none of that makes any sense to me. Or I barely believe that. Then you are early in your faith. You may not yet have come to faith in Jesus Christ. It may not have hit your heart yet that you are lost as a sinner, fallen and separated from God, and you need to come into relationship with Him to begin any transformation that can happen at all. And please, as your friend, as your pastor, don't hear that in any kind of embarrassment. I think of it more. I went skiing for the first time in high school. And what I learned later was when they handed me the little form that said, tell us what kind of skier you are, I checked beginner. And what I found out later is the guys who knew what they were doing took that sheet and they set my bindings according to what I said so that as I fell, and I was going to fall a lot as a beginner, I wouldn't break my legs. If I had lied about my ability, they would have done something different and I very well could have ended up injuring myself. That's the spirit I deliver this message to you in. If you are new in Christ or not sure that you're in Christ, tell me. Tell Will. Tell one of our deacons that have these really cool new badges that they're wearing around. But let somebody know an honest assessment. Yes, I get it. It's a little bit of the lifting of the shirt, right? But be honest about where you are. If you've been in Christ for a while, you have come. Maybe you've come to the place where you go, I've been in church, I've been part of fellowship, I've been part of groups and Bible studies, and I have a decent amount of knowledge. Okay, great, there's opportunity for you too. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But have an honest assessment of where you are, who you are, and then begin your plan based on that. But this is one of the most, and I love the way Ortberg said it, this is one of the most significant spiritual truths that I've ever come across, is that the reality of growing in Christ is much more about training than it ever is about trying. What I did this year, I said, okay, and the other thing you guys especially who are men's frat, you'll know about me is, I'm the kind of guy who wants to take everything Pastor Joe has challenged you to do and said, okay, now let's make it practical. Tell me what your next half step is going to be. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For about 8 years, I've said I was going to join a CLC group. A CLC groups are, that's kind of a deeper dive in men's ministry. Almost hard for me to say. It's a 2-year, every week, 6:30 a.m. in this particular case, 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. commitment. Self-appendectomy sounds better to me than that, okay? But I realized, I've talked about a new level of maturity. I've talked about a new level of opportunity of getting into men's lives, but the talk never translated into a plan. So for me this year, the thing I needed to do was take this particular step. There's an awful lot more that I need to work on. Just like when I go work out, I still love to run. It's primarily what I do, and I'm decent at it. But There are so many other things I need to work on, but I'm going to pick one thing and work on one thing at a time. And I'm just going to tell you, in your spiritual life, I think some of you need to do that. You need to pick something. If it's as simple as, I need to read a book of the Bible. For some of you, it's, I need to read the whole Bible. For some of you, it's, I need to have an honest conversation with another person about the reality of my faith or the lack of my faith. But what I want you to do, what I need you to do as your pastor, is start to figure out in what way do you need to be transformed, or what way are you looking to be transformed? And then I and my team can be of help. If I know where and how you want to change, I can direct you in ways, I can connect you with people, I can put you into ministries. In some cases, I can create ministries with your help. But that doesn't come unless I know where you are and I know what you want to do. So taking that online assessment is one good simple tool that we're going to use this year. Turn in your Bibles, would you? I want to show you another passage in Matthew. It's the strangest type of story that Jesus tells. And yet, when I think about this challenge we have of transformation, it's exactly the kind of thing we need to hear. Now, just before this, I'm going to pick up in verse 20, I think that says 8, yes, 28 of Matthew. Diane, I'm getting there, all right? My goodness sakes. I didn't want you to give me feedback right now, okay? Matthew 21 is where we are. Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to read starting in verse 28. And one of the things you need to realize, this is, Mike, I love, Mike in communion talked about Jesus moving toward the finish line. And as you read the Gospels especially, you will see that the intensity of what was happening with Jesus just ratcheted up. And in this particular case, the conversation we're going to hear comes right on the heels of the chief priests and the Pharisees coming to Jesus and saying, look, we got to ask you, who gave you the authority to do all this stuff? I mean, one of the things I love is just the candid nature of that question. It's like, let's cut through all this stuff. We got to know, if you think you have authority, you speak like you're talking God's words, and we don't think you know God. And they went right at him. Whose authority? And that's what happened right before this. And then Jesus says this strange, strange, wonderful parable. He says, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first, and he said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind, and he went. And he went to the other son, and he said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. It is the reason that story hits me so hard is because it reminds me that we have the capability of trying to live out obedience only in our heads. I think there are times, and if it's not true for you, then you have to just indulge me for a minute, because it is true of me, that I will convince myself that the only thing that Jesus cares about is what I think about him in my mind. And the reality is, Jesus tells us right here that God has made his plan, his will, very clear. He calls us to love him with our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Jesus says, because of that, there end up being two type of people. There end up being people who listen and hear my commands. They listen and hear the challenge to transformation. They know the opportunity is there. And what they say is, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. That's going to be me this year. And then they never go. And what Jesus says is it's so tragic that some of the most spiritual guys who thought they were absolutely on the right path with God, they end up getting compared to some of the most corrupt, evil people who it finally dawned on them, God is the source of my transformation. My life is a train wreck. I need to listen to what Jesus says and be obedient and give my life and my will and my desires over to him. And Jesus says, the sad thing to all of you is that these guys are streaming into the kingdom of God because they're doing something. They're listening. They're obeying. And all of you are standing here thinking about obeying. My greatest prayer is that that does not describe us this year. Next week, I'm going to take you through what some of the things are that we can do. What I can tell you that the church, this campus, CCC as a whole, the types of things that are available to you and to move you in this next step. But would you spend this week thinking through, if I could guarantee you 1 year from now, an area of your life would be transformed, would you take some time this week to think about that and maybe communicate it to me or communicate it to those you care about and love in your life enough to say out loud, here's what I want to see change in my life? Pray with me, would you please? Father, I realize that all of this only happens because of your good work. You have not only made us, you have given us freedom. So would you allow us the grace to choose to let you do the work that you can, the work that is so good, the work that we need. Point out to us the areas of change that are most needed. And Father, may we do it above all things for your glory, not because it makes us better. It makes you a great God. And we will give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.